So here we are on the first week of June in the heart, or maybe on the tail end, if I read the calendar right, of graduation season. And so it was a dozen years ago this very weekend that I graduated from the University of Chicago with a shiny new Master's of Divinity and was hustled home back to Maryland because I was 3 weeks behind my seminary fellows in graduating and they wanted to get ordained. So they rushed us home, ordained us the very next weekend, and I started on the 15th of June in 2006 at curate in St. James in Moncton. Now this brings, I'm deep in reminiscing about this because the very first thing that happened when I arrived is that the rector went on sabbatical. And it was just me and the other associate for 3 months. And two, and appropriate perhaps more to this morning's context, I was given a special job by the rector, a special thing to do, one of those things that curates get to do. I was named officially our delegate to the Northern Baltimore County Clerical Luncheon and sent to their special June meeting, upon which or in which there would be high conversation, for a new evil had arisen in Northern Baltimore County. And it was up to us clerics at our luncheon to figure out what the church's response was going to be. What was this new evil? The Baltimore County government had just approved the use of county property for youth sports on Sunday. Now, you're not supposed to laugh. You're supposed to go, so let me try that again. Youth sports on Sunday. Exactly. What were they thinking? And so I went to this luncheon, newly minted MDiv, newly ordained person, and we were going to hash it out. What are we going to do? What's the church going to say? And frankly, I think we felt a little bit like these Pharisees in today's gospel passage. Something new is afoot and has begun to tread on the Sabbath. They're out to find out what's going on and what they should do about it. So what did we do about it? Well, the very first thing, and I've learned over the years, this is what senior clerics do to junior clerics. They first named me the head of the task force that was going to make our response. I thought it was because I was a newly minted MDiv and had played a lot of sports and never on a Sunday growing up. I figured out later what it was really about. And so I went back to my office and I conferred with Larry Penner, the senior associate at our parish, and said, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do about this? And she said, well, I know the one thing you're not going to do. You're not going to write a letter while the rector's gone. And we concocted a plan to host the next edition of the Northern Baltimore County Clerics Luncheon at our church and to invite some special guests, the local rabbi, the local imam, the local Seventh-day Adventist pastor. The question, what's it like to play sports on the Sabbath? Now, before you start thinking, gosh, Art, you're clever, and you shouldn't ever be the hero of your own story, I'm not done yet. For it was really Larry's good wisdom that brought us that far, and the hero of the story is actually the rabbi that we invited. Our other guests really said, you buck up, and you move on. But the rabbi alone, his name now lost to my memory and history, he's the only one brave enough to quote Jesus to us and say, wasn't it Jesus that said, humankind was made, not the Sabbath for humankind? Poignant statement from a rabbi and an interesting statement from Jesus himself. I mean, you all know this story well, I hope, or at least it was clear enough. It's a very well-structured story about what's going on. Jesus and his disciples are making a way through a field. The disciples are plucking heads of grain, which is the doing of work, which is not permitted on the Sabbath. Later, on a different Sabbath, maybe later the same Sabbath, Jesus encounters a man with a withered hand. And the Pharisees lay in wait. Will Jesus correct his disciples? Will Jesus fail to heal this person? Will Jesus do work on the Sabbath? What are you going to do, Jesus? All the while hoping that he'll give the wrong answer. And into that, Jesus speaks this rather enigmatic but super powerful word of truth. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now, the mythology that Jesus is invoking here is manifold and kind of complex. So forgive me for a moment for kind of talking us through it. Jesus invokes the mythology of creation. Humankind was made, and then the Sabbath. And that order is important. Because after humankind is made, they are given dominion over all of the created order, including the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for humankind. It is ours, as is the whole creation, to use and to employ to glorify God. It is not placed in to rule over us. And while invoking the concept of Son of Man is a loaded term in Mark's gospel and across the gospels, one way of interpreting that is to simply talk about people. And in doing so, Jesus perhaps reinforces his previous statement. People are lords even of the Sabbath. It is ours to use to glorify God, like the whole rest of the creation. And so with this bit of theological and biblical juggling, Jesus turns the question back on those Pharisees who are so interested in what he's about to do, and seems to ask the question, both in that context and ours, all right, bosses of the Sabbath, what do you do with it? Do you feed the hungry on the Sabbath? That's the implication of this kind of strange story about David. David on the run from Saul, David and his companions near starving. Would the priest withhold from them even the special bread and fail to be hospitable, fail to feed the hungry, fail to do justice? What do you do on the Sabbath, you lords of the Sabbath? Will you do justice? What about healing? What about tending to the needs of the sick? Will Jesus reach out and heal the man with the withered hand, violating the strictures against work? What would you do, you lords of the Sabbath? Would you fail to do justice? Would you fail to heal? Now, I would like to think that the Pharisees were cut to the heart by this and would begin to loosen up their strictures a bit. That's certainly where we ended up on the issue of sports. Amazing what realizing that there are actually Jewish kids in your community that are at more liberty on Sunday to play sports will do to your hardness. But it doesn't seem the Pharisees are that way. And so I think Jesus even ups the ante on them. It says at the end of the passage that he responded with anger, and that's not really where I'm going with this. It is to actually draw out two almost seemingly insignificant details of the passage to really motivate us as we, who are a little bit more flexible, I believe, on the notion of Sabbath, but who really still need to be challenged with the question of what will you do with the Sabbath you have been given? There are two peculiarities, one in the language of the story and the other in the narrative of the story that bear mentioning at this point. One Sabbath, it says, Jesus and his disciples were going through the grain fields, and as they made a way. A little subtlety in the translation here, but it's an important one. They made a way. This is a word that early Christians used to talk about the development of the life of faith and the bringing of people through it. Jesus is talking here about more than simply feeding the hungry and doing justice. That we already know is important, but the question is, on the Sabbath, will you make a way? And will you bring people along in justice? The second and perhaps more important oddity of this story is to think about the exact interaction between Jesus and the man with the withered hand. We have not at this point in Mark's gospel seen a lot of healings on the part of Jesus, but we know as Christians that there's a way that Jesus heals people. There's a technique to it. Sometimes a rather off-putting one, like the time where he spits in the guy's eye, and that's just weird. But notice, Jesus calls the man with the withered hand forth. He talks to him. He teaches the Pharisees, and he says, stretch out your hand. He doesn't touch him. He doesn't pray over him. He simply calls him forth, and the man reaches out his own hand. The sense given in the text is that the man is enabled. The man is empowered. The man is reformed and reframed into something new, someone without a withered hand. And the commentators have suggested that that is tantamount to Jesus calling us out too. We who are withered by our own misconceptions and our own sense of our own inadequacy to do the work of justice and healing on the Sabbath, Jesus is calling us out and saying, stretch out your hand. You lords of the Sabbath, what will you do to make the best use of this time that has been given you?